Radio Newark Sport. Brought to you with Smith's Timber Merchants. For all your fencing, decking and DIY needs on Appleton Gate, Newark. Visit smithstimber.co.uk.
Some say youngsters these days just don't care. All we know is we're about to prove everybody wrong. Welcome to the unique Radio Newark Sport. Rhodes Yeomans, that's the name to look out for. He plays for Newark Town Warriors under-10s and is a big Gareth Bale fan. He's going to tell us why later on. He also has the same hairstyle as his hero. So why is he chopping it all off? He's here and he's going to tell you that in a few minutes' time. It's Tuesday, so our Amber's with us. She's been to Liverpool. Christmas shopping or running? Find out at 7:20. And it's a busy time of the year for Newark Swimming Club, including the presentation night, galas and county standards to achieve. If Neil Bilton gets off the M1 in time, he's going to talk all things swimming at 7:50. And in between all that, the man that sits alongside me is going to tell me of his sporting highlights in 2017. Both in the studio and out of the studio. So if you listened to last night's show, it's me and our dad. If you didn't, it's Mick Bradley and Tony Smith. The local stories and the national stories still to come. But first up, it's Brett. When I found out his hero was Gareth Bale, I thought that was fantastic, because everybody chooses the easy ones, don't they? You know, your Wayne Rooney's and for some reason and whatever. But Gareth Bale is a cracking footballer who keeps himself to himself. He gets on with it, keeps out of the limelight and does a good job. So I got thinking about my hero, footballing hero, who was somebody else that kept out of the limelight. Did a cracking job on the field, and very rarely you heard of him off the field. And then I found out 12 years ago today he passed away.
Who was that?
The best ever footballer this world has ever known. Georgie Best.
12 years
then. 12 years today. Yeah. So I'm glad I'm talking about somebody's favourite footballer tonight, because I think that's a bit poignant.
I've got a similar hero that you never heard a thing wrong about. Frank Worthington.
Most people have never even heard of Frank Worthington. Mm. You can tell me later on why on earth somebody like Frank Worthington can be your hero, because I don't understand that.
Certainly can't tell you on there.
Two more quick ones. It's also a month today since Rangers sacked the manager and they haven't replaced him. And Everton have also been a month without a manager. It's not the manager that should have been sacked. It's the chief executive or the owners that should have been sacked. If you sack the pivotal person in the whole club and take a month to replace them in the middle of a football season, you want sacking.
If you sack anyone, you've got to have a plan B.
Well, they haven't got to plan anything, have they? Both of them.
I think they're down to plan Z. Certainly, Fallardyce is the answer.
Right. Young man in the studio tonight, and we do like having the youngsters in and showcasing Newark's sporting talent. So it's now time to say good evening, welcome to Radio Newark Sport, to Brett Rhodes Yeomans. Hello, Brett.
Hello.
Hiya. Now then, we've read this story all about you, so you've come into the studio to tell us. But first of all, I want to find out a little bit about you. How long have you been playing football?
I think just over 5 years.
Just over 5 years. And is football your favourite sport?
Yes.
Any other sports?
I do hockey.
Hockey? Do you play for anybody's hockey?
No.
But you like hockey. Out of the two, what's the most brutal? Hockey or football?
Probably football.
You think football? Keep playing hockey, you'll find out. Never, ever play against the girls at hockey. No, you'll end up being injured.
Good advice.
Okay, so you're football. Are you a Newark lad? Was you born in Newark?
No.
Where are you from then?
Nottingham.
You're in Nottingham, but where do you live now then?
Farndon.
Farndon, you're Farndon lad now, but you play for Newark Town now. So how long have you played for Newark Town?
5 years.
So all the time you've been here, you started off with Newark and you've stuck with Newark, and it's the under 10 Warriors, is it?
Yes.
What sort of season is Brett and the under 10 Warriors having?
A good season.
Oh, come on then. That must mean we've got some victories then.
Yeah.
Go on then. Tell me a bit about the season so far. Where are you in the league? They don't do leagues, Dad, do they at this age?
Yeah, they do.
They do. So where are you in the league?
I don't know. We've got 4 points, lost one, drew one, and won one.
That's not so bad then, is it? And what position does Brett play?
Right, I can play anywhere.
Oh, like me, anywhere.
Yeah, except on the field.
Except on the field, yes. What's your favourite position?
Probably up front or right wing.
Up front, and have you scored yet this season?
Yes.
So you heard it get in your eyes then?
I think I've scored 3 or more.
That's good going. Left-footed, right-footed?
Yeah.
Both? You're a good lad, you are.
Am I?
And somebody's pointing as well. You also scored a header.
I've scored lots of headers.
Do you know how to head a ball properly? Where do you head a ball?
There.
In the forehead. Good lad, that's the idea. Because it is important. There's a big thing on at the moment about heading balls and heading balls correctly. Who's your manager, your coach then?
Dean Douglas.
Is he good? He's
yes.
Probably listening, so you better be nice to him if you want to play on Saturday.
Yeah.
Dean Douglas, so he's in charge of the Warriors under 10s, is he?
Yes.
Good, good. Can you just put that towards Dad at the moment? Let's just bring Dad in, because it's always Mum or Dad when they're coming here, because that's what you are, your dad. Do you go down there every Saturday then, Dad, and watch him?
Oh, every Saturday.
Every Saturday?
Yeah, they're most Saturdays. They're most Wednesdays for the training. That's sometimes help out Dean Douglas when he needs it.
So what's your footballing pedigree?
Oh, mine? Oh, not as good as his. Not as good as his. When we were younger, there was two teams in Newark. It was like Newark Town or Grove Rangers. And now there's a wide variety of teams for these kids to play in, which is amazing.
I want to just get serious, because it's with what's going off at the moment with Alan Shearer and the dementia thing and the heading the ball, it'd be lovely to get a parent's perspective off of it, because obviously you've seen and read what they're talking about. And what is he, 9, 10?
Yeah, he's 10. 10 in 2 weeks.
How do you feel about the potential problems? I mean, I tend to think they're probably blowing it out of all proportion. We've played football, and there's millions and millions of people play football, and yes, you can get head injuries. I don't think there's any doubt about that. But, I mean, talking about stopping kids heading a ball and things like that, I don't know. What's a parent's thoughts on it?
From a parent's perspective, I've seen him score some outrageous headers, and you don't see many kids score headers from a corner or from crosses. You don't see a lot of... At grassroots level, you don't see a lot of headers. And I've seen him score a few headers, and I've also seen him header a ball away from a long goalkeeper's kick. And you see it coming right out of the air with snow on it sometimes. You know what I mean? It's coming out really high, and he's straight away looking to head that ball away. And it's not until after, and you see the research, that you do think, you know, now I do, you do kind of worry that if it is linked, and you know, if there is cause for it to be linked to head trauma and concussions that happen, I'm not sure exactly what they can do about it, but definitely something does need to be looked into.
You can't wrap them in cotton wool either, can you? I mean, my grandchildren play rugby, you know, and they're just old enough now for scrums, and grandma has a fit every time she sees it, but you can't just keep them at home all the time, can you?
Oh no, I don't think that's the case. I don't think it's a massive thing to keep them at home, and I just think it's to be wise with the evidence that's provided, with the research that we get. I think we can only look to make sure that they last, that they can play into their 20s and 30s and 40, you know, when they get to 30 and 40, that they...
But he's heading it right already, isn't he?
Oh, he is heading it right,
knows,
yeah.
He knows. Yeah. He keeps banging that. Just move that way a bit, Brett, because every time you bang that, it makes me go... Right, what we're going to do is we're going to find out what you're going to do with this Gareth Bale hairstyle. First of all, I'm just going to tell everybody what the local headlines are, then it's back to you. And what you're going to do when you go to the hairdressers again. And in those local headlines, Tutoring School's sporting dominance continued with the district cross country. Joseph Monk and Riley Picker led the way for the both boys and the girls team, returned to school with gold medals. Connor, meanwhile, won his ABA boxing match on Saturday. The New York fighter is coached by Dean Sugden, and that was his first victory. Finlay Cranage gained his best result of the BMX season in round 3 of the Nottingham Outlaws Winter Series, gaining third place in the B final in a very cold and wet conditions. And the Newark Rugby Club Colts beat Stanford to strengthen their grip on the Welland Cup. Tries from Sam Booth, Jason Pearson and Bob Skelton, seeing them over the line. And of course, our Rugby Club Colts second to none when it comes to junior rugby in the whole of the Midlands.
This is Radio Newark Sport.
And I'm not biased, but the girls are probably a bit better than that.
Okay, young Brett. You've been growing your hair now for, what, 2 years nearly? A year and a half?
2 years, a year and a half.
And if you want to nip onto our... if you want to go on to social media, you can see a picture, and the hair is a bit longer than mine. Dan, past the shoulders. Yeah, I know you're pulling it down. It's past the shoulders and halfway down the back. What are you going to do now? What's next?
I'm going to be cutting it, like, not all of it off, only, like, a few of it off, and making it my old hairstyle I used to have, and go off to donate the Princess Trust.
Tell me what the Princess Trust is.
It's a charity makes wigs and
for children that's better off than what you are.
Yeah. And they could have cancer, yeah, and other, like.
Why are you doing this, Brett? What's made you think about this one?
How to make me think about growing my hair was mostly Gareth Bale.
And why are you thinking about losing all your hair? Why did you pick the Princess's Trust?
Giving it to someone who needs it.
It's actually a fantastic thought. And Mum's sitting very quietly at the back there, so just put that microphone right up to Mum. So I did wonder a bit earlier off if Mum was going to cut all her gorgeous hair off as well. But I was told no. In no uncertain terms, I was told no. Mum, it must be a bit of a nightmare for you to start with looking after his hair in the morning.
Yes.
So you wouldn't be complaining too much.
No. I have to do his hair every morning. I make sure I put it up in the famous man bun. Yeah, I mean, his hair is long enough to do a short wig for the little Princess Trust.
It's actually a lovely thought, isn't it? I mean, you know, from a 10-year-old, 9-year-old, it's there's almost the last thing you would expect them to think about. And here he is. I just think it's wonderful. I really do.
Yeah. Well, what happened was, is last year, I was in the barbers, and his older brother, Ryan, was having his hair cut. And I said, Brett, are you going to have your cut? And he says, I don't want to have my hair cut. I was like, okay, we'll wait till next time then. Next time came, he says, I want to grow my hair. I was okay. And he said, I want my hair like Gareth Bale. And then he said, a few weeks after that, he said, then I want to donate it in a couple of years' time.
I think it's, Tony, I think it's absolutely wonderful. We've got a young man in the studio that actually is taking time out to think about youngsters, that's, especially at this time of year as well. Yeah. It's a lot less well-off than he is.
It's a fantastic charity, but a fantastic decision.
It's young man, and I think, Brett, you are definitely our star of the week. In fact, you're probably one of our stars of the year for doing that. And will you promise me one thing? When you've been to the hairdressers, get mum or dad to send me a photo so I can put it on the Radio Newark website and we can show everybody then what the picture of you looking more like Wayne Rooney than Gareth Bale.
Hey, John, tell me, what money you raised?
You're raising money as well.
Yeah.
Good lad.
I've got a Just Giving page, and I've raised £160.
Oh, that's what? Yeah, one of these. Don't run very often. But, yeah, 100, and that's you are our star of the year. That's it, without a shadow of doubt. Mum, Dad, just very quickly, how anybody listening to this wants to go onto that Just Giving page? How do they do it?
They can just they can go on www.justgiving.com/BRY7. That's his moniker as such, BRY7. Just go there and if you can't donate anything, even if you can just share the page so it gets a big outreach, that'd be fantastic.
Just share the page, and the more people that know about it, the better. Well, I'm gonna take a picture of him now, and if Mum and Dad say it's okay, put a picture on our Facebook site in the next couple of days, and then we'll have a before and after of Newark's very own Gareth Bale. Brett, thank you for coming in. Thank you for talking to us. We've really enjoyed talking to you tonight. And when are you going? When is this big haircut?
December.
December the 9th. What's that? December the 9th. That's just before your birthday, isn't it?
It is.
Oh, dear. Short hair for your birthday. Well, Brett, it's fantastic what you're doing, and we really think you're an absolute star. Mum and Dad, thanks very much for bringing him. You should be so proud of him. From a charming young man who's having all his hair cut off for the Princess's charity, to a charming young lady who takes time out to join us every Tuesday. We are so lucky on Radio Newark Sport, Tony, aren't we, that these youngsters take time out to come and talk to us. Amber Owens, I hasten to say, Amber Owens outside in the cold at the Grove Training Centre, or Amber Owens on the three-piece suite watching Emmerdale.
It's Coronation Street, but I'm at Newark.
You're at Newark and you're out there working hard, and it's so cold.
Yeah, it's freezing.
Okay, it's freezing. Oh, I don't know. Amber, I've got in my notes, it says here, Amber Owens went to Liverpool on Saturday. Ask her the first question, shopping or running?
Oh, easy, running.
There's no shopping centres in Liverpool, obviously.
Well, no, we didn't go shopping.
But you actually, in all seriousness, you went to Liverpool for a massive, massive event.
Yeah, we went for the Liverpool Cross Challenge. So, yeah.
Which was part of the trials for the European Cross Country Championships, I understand.
Yeah, it was a really good run. I mean, it's quite a big event because some people, like some of the older ones, go for European. So you see like lots of famous faces because a lot of them want to try and get to the Europeans. But yeah, a lot of people did it. It was really good.
When you see a famous face, you normally have your photo taken. With your mate Mo.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
Now, I am told by a very high authority, and they don't come The authority doesn't come any higher than this man in Nottinghamshire. Your run, in his words, he believes you're back on form.
Yeah, I think that's Gareth Bagley, am I correct?
Yeah.
I mean, I haven't been... My runs have been not so good at the minute, but, I mean, I think the run on the weekend was really good because I kind of kept with people that I'm used to running with, and I beat a couple of people I didn't think I'd beat, or I hadn't beat, like, because for the North Mids, which was one of the first cross countries, there was a couple of people in that beat me by quite a lot. And then this weekend, I managed to beat them by quite a bit. So it was a really good run.
So form is coming back. Now, you're out there. Where did you finish, Amber?
I finished 64.
Out of an awful lot.
Yeah, Olivia Matthews finished 30th. She had a really, really good run. Linton Taylor, he was in the top 30s in the under 23s. And then bearing in mind, they're like, some of them are elite runners. That's really, really good. And he obviously, he's training in New Mexico, so he has to come back for that.
So Linton travelled from New Mexico in the USA to compete in, that's how important this race was.
Yeah,
I tell you what, Amber, New Mexico, temperature-wise, to Liverpool temperature-wise, at the weekend, it must have been a shock to his system.
Yeah, and I mean, I heard as well he had to have an 8-hour car journey to the airport anyway, and then have to get the plane all the way back.
Crack!
So yeah, I think he was really tired. I think he'd have been pretty jet-lagged coming all the way just for a race and then having to go back.
That's why the elite athletes of this country took part in that event, and that's why you was there.
Well, you
can
say that.
It's true. It's true. What else are you going to tell me?
Okay, well, I found out that there was a not octathlon event. I think it was at the sports hall at Mansfield.
Yes.
And there was an under-11 boy who came second, and he was Joshua Clee. And I think it was out of 32 boys. And he got PBs in standing long jump, chest push, and stunning triple jump. So he had a really, really good day.
So the Radio New York, the New York Athletic Club shirt was prominent again then.
Yeah.
And
as well.
I don't know if there's one that you probably didn't know, is East Midlands Cross Country League as well on Sunday.
Oh, no, I know about that one.
Oh, go on then.
It was Andy Welshman and it was Becky Gallup. And they did the East Midlands Cross Country League. Becky came second in the ladies 3-miler, and Andy came 55th in the men's longer race. And as well, apparently, Andy missed the start as well. So the fact that he came 35th after missing the start is pretty good.
I think it's a fantastic achievement.
He's already gone.
It's absolute. It really is a fantastic achievement. Of course, Becky, well, we expect that of Becky, don't we?
Yeah, Becky is a really good runner.
It really is. It's a very special night for you tomorrow night, I understand.
Yeah, very special night tomorrow.
For the ones of you that don't know, is our special guest in the studio tomorrow night is the Premier Athletic family of the area. The Owens family are actually not going to be on the telephone. They're coming into the studio.
Yeah, we're coming tomorrow.
They're coming tonight, so we're going to find all about your 2017, and you're going to tell us why you're now returning to form and how you've managed to get that form back. We're going to talk to the twins.
Are they going to wear name badges?
Yes, we're going to get them badges.
So you know which is which.
Yes. And Dad's coming along as well, I understand.
Yeah, Dad's coming too.
Dad's coming along, so we're going to have a really good old chinwag tomorrow night with all of you.
Yeah. Oh, I have one more thing to say.
Go on then.
Martin Waite did, I think it was a clown half marathon.
Okay, yes, yes.
And he apparently did really well in that. I think he was like, I think he was towards the front with the runners.
Excellent.
Towards the front of the runners, because obviously he does marathons, but he's been doing really well at the minute as well.
So, Martin Waite, Becky, Josh, you, Andy, it's a good weekend for Newark Athletic Club.
Yeah, busy weekend.
A busy, busy weekend. Oh, we'll look forward to seeing you tomorrow night then.
Yes, see you tomorrow.
See you all tomorrow. Bye, Amber.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Amber Owens there, as ever, live from the Grove, shall we say, field. That sums it up and sums it up for the best.
It's going to be cold out there tonight.
It's cold enough walking from the car. Right, let's do a few national headlines and see what they can come up with before we have a chat with Mr. Smith, because he sits here week in, week out. I ought to give him a test, actually, to see if he's listening.
Radio Newark Sport, brought to you with Smith's Timber Merchants, for all your fencing, decking and DIY needs.
And the former England captain, Nasser Hussain, says that Ben Stokes can expect a media frenzy when he gets to New Zealand. The suspended all-rounder's flown for a family visit, but he is in talks to play for the Kiwi side, Canterbury. It's raised speculation he could eventually join up with the England Ashes squad in Australia once police complete the investigation following his arrest outside a nightclub over 2 months ago. They're not taking the time, are they? No, they're not. In football, Watford boss Marco Silva has shrugged off comparisons with fellow Portuguese coach and friend Jose Mourinho, who he faces tonight. What comparisons?
They're both Portuguese.
Yeah, OK. They host Manchester United in the Premier League. Silva's flattened by suggestions he is being called the new Mourinho. You've got to win something first. Elsewhere, Tottenham are 13 points behind leaders Manchester City going into their game at Leicester. Brighton take on Crystal Palace, and West Bromwich Albion face a Newcastle side that's just got beat four times on the bounce. Peter Crouch has signed a one-year contract extension at Stoke. The 36-year-old striker, who scored 22 times for England, has committed himself to at least the summer of 2019.
Radio Newark Sport, brought to you with Smith's Timber Merchants, for all your fencing, decking and DIY needs on Appleton Gate, Newark. Visit smithstimber.co.uk.
I bet Mourinho's delighted with that link. When you look at Mourinho's CV all over the world, and the other guy's got Hull relegated.
And they're apparently, yeah, okay. Yeah. But Everton do want Marco Silva as their new manager. They didn't want him in the summer, but they do want him now. Mm. When they could have had him on the cheap from Hull, they didn't want him then because Ronald Coleman was better.
But apparently, yes. They've got Sam Allardyce now. They lined up.
Yeah, big Sam. That's doing him the world of good. Dear, dear. Well, we've been chatting away the last few weeks about 2017 and what everybody thought about, and nobody's really asked us what we think about our 2017 and what sort of year it's been for us. The sports awards are coming up in the next few weeks, and tomorrow night we're going to be having an argument about the BBC ones, at least the overseas ones, which I haven't got a clue who most of them are, and one of them that's in there apparently plays American football, so even why is that involved, because it's a sports awards. But anyway, we'll figure that one out tomorrow night. I'm not sure on the field, team sport-wise, apart from the hockey, 2017 will really go down in the memory bank as anything special. The hockey did ever so well, but from football and rugby's point of view, there's no trees pulled up anywhere. 2018 may well be different. The rugby's sitting, looking as if a decent run, they could do something, and Flowserve's footballers want their kicking if they don't win it.
It wasn't a bad summer for cricket.
I ain't got to that yet. I'm still in the winter. So that was, from my point of view, I'm not going to remember 2017. I'm going to remember them for the hockey ladies and the hockey men gaining promotion. Moving into cricket, Newark R&M did what they should have done, and anything less would have been a disaster. Bolton got relegated. Collingham just about held the Reds where they wanted to be. So again, and Farndon got relegated. Again, I'm not going to say it's going to remain in my memory bank as a special summer. For you, on the other hand, may be different. Now, I spent all my sporting career associated with clubs. Flowserve, Newark Town, not safe, I even call that a club, but I've been associated. You spent all your working life almost as Mr. Lonesome, because you couldn't possibly say RHP are my favourite team. We all knew it, but you couldn't say it. You couldn't actually come out. the one thing that's changed for you in the last 5 years, you now can hang that flag where you want to. And I think that's what you've done, and you're enjoying it again.
Yeah, I mean, I always wanted, ever since I was a kid, to be involved with a football team, but never had the opportunity. And then at the age of 18, I became a journalist, very quickly a sports journalist, and there was no chance of showing any allegiance to anybody. And then I moved to Newark and fell in love with RHP, basically, but could never say anything to anybody. But as soon as I left the paper, and I was approached by Jim Mackay to be the technical director of the RHP A team, the club's third team, it was my break into Newark sport. I played for RHP at cricket on the sly. Basically, I don't think anybody at the paper knew that I was playing for RHP cricket team on a Saturday and a Sunday, and I was supposed to be working.
Well, we saw you score, so no, we didn't.
but it did. My involvement with the team as a player gave me a great insight into the cricket world that I wouldn't have got otherwise, just relying on results in the newsroom. So it was great to be involved, however, undercover. But then at the start of this year, basically in early winter, late autumn of last year, when Newark Cricket Club, or Newark R&M Cricket Club, asked me to go learn how to be an umpire, and they would pay for the 12-week course, then it was a very daunting thing for me to do, because I started getting homework and stuff. I'd not done homework for 40 years, and then I didn't do it very well. That's how I became a journalist. But the first night that I went to Trent Bridge, the 9th of January, Monday the 9th of January of this year, I was on the A46 driving to Nottingham in the pitch black for a 7:30 meeting in the long room at Trent Bridge, and suddenly realised that in these glasses I can't actually see driving at night. So that was a rather unnerving journey. And then to get there, I thought, right, it'll be loads of idiots like me in the long room at Trent Bridge all learning how to be an umpire. And there were three first-class umpires at my table, including David Milnes, who's an international umpire. So I was really put out. Plus the fact that the meeting lasted about an hour, or the lecture, I suppose you want to call it that, the lecture lasted an hour and a half. And that's the longest I've been in a long room at Trent Bridge without a pint in my hand, by about 89 minutes.
It's as long as you've been anywhere without a pint in your hand.
But thankfully, 12 weeks later, I was told that I'd passed the course. And then that opened up what I shouldn't really call the best summer of my life.
The best sporting summer of your life?
I got married during the summer. I had my two daughters during summer months, but it was the best summer of my life, by a long way.
What's the difference, Tony, between working for a living doing sport and standing in umpiring and sitting in here and not getting paid diddly squat for it?
I think there's a lot of pressure on you when you're paid to do a job. Also, whenever you go, the highlight of my summer, when you walk into a dressing room, when you knock on the door and walk into a dressing room, no matter how well the guys in the dressing room know you, you still get that look, the first look when you walk in. Who the hell is that in our dressing room? Oh, hiya Tony, how you doing? But you still never feel welcome. And we'd played a game last summer, and I was standing at both ends, umpiring at both ends. And the game lasted for about 7 hours. So I was doing both ends, concentrating for 7 hours of cricket. And it's not a physical thing. It's a mental thing. You're just exhausted at the end of it. And I was sat in the pavilion at Kellam Road with three lovely people who were volunteers at the club. Matt Evans, sorry, John Evans, his wife Liz, and Liz's dad Fred. And they were the four of us were sat there. I was in my full umpire gear and with a pint in my hand, sitting down after 7 hours of a hot day. And it was, I was all right where I was. Absolutely fantastic. And then suddenly the three of them said, oh, we've just remembered we've got an important social event to go to this evening. See you later, Tony. So I was sat in the pavilion at Callum Road on my own, incredibly happy. You could hear the players celebrating in the dressing room. And Jake Harling, who was the biggest mickey taker in the dressing room, walked out of the dressing room with just a towel around his waist and said to me, what are you doing out here sat on your own? You're one of us. Come and join us. And I walked in my full umpire gear into the dressing room with my pint and sat down in the middle of the players. And I went to myself, click record, because this doesn't happen every day of the week in a sporting situation, because the dressing room is sacrosanct. You're not allowed in there.
It can never happen in the day job.
So but it would never happen as a journalist. It actually did happen to me once as a journalist when we were invited into the Sheffield Wednesday dressing room after they won promotion with a 1-0 win against Crystal Palace. Mel Sterling got the goal. Howard Wilkinson was manager. And he invited all the press guys into the dressing room to join in with the throwing of the champagne and stuff like that. But it was only the once.
Sitting in here, like you do, and taking it all in, and I like it when the youngsters are in.
Mm.
You know, the young Brett, that's the first time he's been on radio. It's a big, big night for him tonight. He's come here, he's enjoyed it, and he's told us he's doing something special.
I like it when the old guys are in.
His time is coming now, and I'd love to sort of talk about them. And we've had some cracking memories with Ed Howlett and Megan.
Mine, and
Anna, and I know what...
Mine is Megan Williams.
Yours is Megan and Anna. And many, many more of these super, super youngsters. And somebody like Amber, who takes time out to talk to us every single Tuesday night. He gets her out of warm-up for the Athletic.
I think she'd rather be warming up tonight, wouldn't she?
I like it when the youngsters... You, of course, like it. You're like Thursday night when we've got Chris Bateson and Pat Douglas coming in and two old guys going around the country looking at football. But we're not always chasing the news. We're chasing just what's going off out there. And that, again, is different to what you used to do.
Yeah, I mean, 75% of my love of sport is nostalgia and the history of it and what went before and the reason we are playing today. And when I turn up at Newark Cricket Club with my umpiring gear, I've got my own personal key to the umpire's room, which is quite an honour to me. And I open the door to the umpire's room, pull back the curtains and have a sit there for 5 minutes just looking around the ground thinking, what the hell am I doing here? This is, you know, you're talking 200 years of history.
And you as a player are sitting in the dressing room thinking, what the hell is he doing here? Boom, boom!
But
that had to come.
But the day, my highlight of being in here was when Megan Williams came in. And she came in with her dad to talk about her kickboxing career, which started as a result of her getting bullied at school and her dad taking along to Suggy's gym so she could fight off the bullies. And, well, as we know, we were at ringside when she had a European title fight, doing an outside broadcast. And then Megan came in here with her dad. And the previous Saturday night, a kickboxer had died in the ring at Leeds. And so I said to Megan, I realise it's a difficult question. She was 14, wasn't she? 14 or 15 at the time.
Exactly.
15, I think. And I said, I realise with your dad sitting in the corner, this is a very, very awkward question to ask. But given that a lad who was 17 years old has died as a result of competing in your sport, how do you feel about that when you climb into a ring? And she spoke for what seemed like 15 minutes. No idea how long it was, but she spoke for a long time with such an assurance and with such dignity and with such passion about her sport that no anybody of any age or of any seniority in kickboxing could have done better. And you and me kept looking at each other going, don't interrupt, don't say, I'm running a bit. And it was just world class. And I've been in here 18 months now, and I've never heard anything like that.
No, it's fantastic. And that's why we do it, isn't it?
Yeah.
For people like that. And of course, other stars come along here, and I was actually thinking of one tonight, and that's Rob Orgill. Because Rob, bless him, always comes in with a joke. And I'm going to leave you with this one. Chat went to a doctor with a strawberry growing out of the side of his head. Doc says, come in, I've got some cream for that. Radio. Back to the phone lines, and just got himself settled in time for us to ring him, our swimming club expert, Mr. Neil Bilton. Neil, good evening.
Evening, Mick. How are you?
I'm very well, thanks. I assume I'm keeping you away from tea.
From dinner. Yeah, I'm with the rest of the sales team. So, but yeah, not a problem. More important to be on the radio.
So let's talk. Newark Swimming Club. It is that massive, massive time of the year. Galas, county championship standards to be attained, and I saw last year the biggest presentation night I've ever seen. So I'll let you take us away.
Well, it's certainly been a hectic 2 weeks since I last spoke. Literally, I've got a load of notes which I'll run through. So the first one on here was obviously the presentation night, which was last Friday at the Newark Academy. So thank you for New Academy allowing us access to the theatre. And as you say, Mick, it was fantastic. You know, it's the age group championships. So not as many trophies to give out and medals and such like as our other inter-club competition, which is the club championships. But still, an awful lot of trophies, an awful lot of organisation, medals, lots of first-time swimmers, which is always good to see. So a cracking night for everybody. In terms of galas, we had our stage 2 gala at Hucknall. It should have been at Hucknall, and at the last minute it got changed to Retford because Hucknall's pool or the boiler broke down, I believe. So that was a bit of an organisational nightmare, trying to change 6 teams from Hucknall across to Retford, but obviously better for us. But we got some. Although we only finished fourth, we had some really, really good individual performances. So just a couple on here really to pick out. So Ben George, he won his 50 fly in the open age group. There were some cracking times, PBs for Maya McCarthy. She's only 10 and a 50 backstroke. Isaac Shaw, 50 breast, he got a cracking PB. Angus McCallion, 53, he's only 14, got a great PB. And then also another one of our open swimmers, Ben Farrell, also got a PB in his 50 breast. So some really good individual performances, and unfortunately, as I say, we only finished fourth, but still a cracking achievement on that. In terms of open meets this week, so we had one of our swimmers was competing over at the Major Oak meet, which was at Retford. So young Amelia Gibson, she got some cracking times. She ended up with 1, 2, 3, but she ended up with 5 county times, which adds to the 9 that she's already got. So in 200 free, she was 13 seconds faster than the county qualifying time. 13 seconds faster.
Right.
It gets better than that. She in 400 free, she was 22 seconds faster than the qualifying time. 200 metre back, she was 20 seconds faster than the county qualifying time. And she must have been tired by this time, but at 200 metres IM, she was only 10 seconds faster than the county qualifying time, so probably got a little tired.
And this young lady's name again?
Amelia Gibson.
One to watch out for?
Definitely. She's also in the Nottinghamshire Development Squad with Nova. She's not been swimming with us for that long, to be fair, but she's... she's really starting to make a bit of an impression with the club, definitely.
Jeez, that's cracking times.
Absolutely. We also had a lot of our other swimmers were competing in the Boston Open Meet, which was at Grantham over the weekend. So I'm not going to go down this list because there's lots and lots of people on here, but just to pick out some really good ones. So Owen Hathaway got a PB in 200 IM and also 400 free, and also obviously with the gained county times. Jamie Love, PB in 50 and 100 freestyle, and again gained county times. David Grab again, some County Times in there, which was really good. And also as well, which is always good to see this time of year, is swimmers getting not just County Times, but times for the Midland Championships. So Jessica Reed, who's a name that we all know at Newark Swimming Club quite well, she swam really well in all her events, and she got 5 Midland times to add to her collection. So a pretty good, you know, all-round sort of weekend of open meets, really, Mick. And some fantastic swims. It's always great to see swimmers getting county and Midland times. You know, that's what we're there for, ultimately.
It is, to
get these swimmers up to a level.
And, of course, we turn into the new year, don't we? And then it's, you know, it is counties and Midlands and everything, isn't it? It is indeed.
So counties, obviously, you know, early next year. So a lot of the kids now are getting these county times ready and ready for that. We've got a few other bits coming up. We've got the Nottinghamshire ASA Festive Friends Race. So really, that's about the last chance for most of the kids to get, you know, their qualifying times of what they're short on. So that's this coming weekend.
Where is that at?
At Harvey Haddon.
Oh yeah,
in Nottingham. And then we also work very closely as well with Mansfield Swimming Club. And we've got some of our swimmers. Mansfield borrow some of our swimmers, for want of a better word, because Mansfield compete in a thing called Arena League, and the Arena League takes them all over the country. Birmingham, other side, Leicester, they go all over Coventry, they go all over the place. And obviously Mansfield have a few gaps in their squad, so they come to Newark and ask us to borrow our swimmers. So normally we have probably about half a dozen swimmers that go, you know, to represent Newark and Mansfield in this Arena League, and it is a really late night for some of them, you know, when they're swimming sort of the other side of Birmingham, Worcester.
Yeah.
You know, they're not getting back till gone midnight. So it's a fantastic achievement then for those swimmers that have been invited by Mansfield. Come on, the bits for you, which may be of interest. I don't know whether you're aware, Mick, but Newark Swimming Club, we've been in existence now for, what, best part of 82 years, and obviously the club logo. We announced at the presentation night that we are looking to update the club logo. At the moment, the club logo consists of Newark Castle and what I believe is the Newark Trent. So probably back in the day, that's where they used to swim. so we've got a competition at the moment running for all of the kids at Newark Swimming Club to redesign our club logo.
Oh, lovely.
And obviously, there's a £50 prize for that lucky winner as well. So something there for the kids to. It has to be obviously associated with Newark, yeah, and also with swimming. But just to sort of, you know, update it a little bit and just bring us into the 21st century, I guess.
That'd be nice. That's
nice. There's quite a bit going on. So lots going on, Mick, over the next few weeks. And as you say, all really gearing up for those counties, you know, early next year.
We'll catch up within a fortnight's time. Neil, go and have your meal and meeting.
Lovely. Thanks, mate.
Thanks, Neil. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye. You know, that's the other thing I do like, Tony. Well, I mean, he's a busy, busy chap, and he's got a meeting to go to tonight. He's in a hotel in the heart of England somewhere with a national sales meeting to organise. He ain't even had a meal yet, but he's taking 10 minutes out to tell Newark about Newark Swimming Club, and I do like that.
But a little bit of history there. The original Newark swimming pool was actually in the Trent.
You see, all these years, something sunk in. It's a way to tell them.
Yes, unfortunately it is.
Yes. You never got this at the advertiser, mate. So, just 5 minutes to finish off. Why do you sit in here when you could be sitting at home in happy retirement?
Well, I was asked when I was still at the advertiser to go on Boundary Sound and talk about the Sunday football results.
And they won't let you.
And they won't let me. The editor said, any views you've got on sport are contracted to us. So, no, you can't go on. So, therefore, when I left the paper and became a full-time golfer and eventually a drugs dealer, it was an opportunity when you invited me to come on to Radio Newark to keep in touch with local sport, really. And I just thoroughly enjoy Monday to Thursday evenings, so much so that when I was away at the start of November, when it came around to 7 o'clock, I really was, despite the fact I was thoroughly enjoying my wife's company and being around the various pubs and clubs of the town.
You get shot for this, you know.
And, but I just really missed the hour in here because it is just such an absolute pleasure.
Sherry prefers radio note sport to being with the wife. You heard it here, folks.
Well, I've only...
Yeah, that's what you said, and there's no going back on it.
I've only been doing Newark Sport for about 18 months, but I've been married 32 years, so obviously it's new and exciting and fresh.
Dear. You will be in trouble. We're going to talk...
She's like the most of Newark, she doesn't listen.
We'll get to January and talk about next year, but I think January, from your point of view, could be quite... Or next year could be... Very good, because obviously you've got one more year of umpiring, and then you may be a victim of your own club's success.
Mm. Yeah, that is a pity. If we go into Division C within the South Notts League structure, then they've got independent umpires. They've actually got panel umpires.
I would then say you'd have to become scorer, but having seen the mess you made of trying to count when it was a tie and it wasn't a tie, yeah. They probably wouldn't want you as scorer.
And that only involved six balls at the time, yeah.
Yes.
But score is not for me. There was a blinding catch was taken in a game that, it was actually a Sunday game in the Newark Alliance. Blinding catch where this lad flew off the ground and held this left-handed catch, diving mid-air. And if you saw that at Trent Bridge from the pavilion or from the stands, you would go, wow, look at that. But it actually took place 3 inches from my right ear. And to be out there in the middle, I mean, the scorer is a great job, don't get me wrong, I'm not knocking it, but when you're in the middle, you're part of the action.
And, of course, closer should win the Notts Senior League.
Again.
From this position, if they don't win the Notts Senior League, then they want shooting.
To be asked by Craig Roach to be part of the management team was a tremendous honour. And, you know, the dressing room. When Steve Kirkham gives a team talk in that dressing room, you listen. Absolutely fantastic. And then to be there in a proper football environment... The only thing that was disappointing about Saturday, which deserved to be far, far better, was the size of the crowd.
It was cold. And everybody was at Park Lane watching the rugby. I told you it was the only place to be on Saturday. No disrespect to Flowserve or the hockey. There was only one place to be on Saturday afternoon. That was at Park Lane. And if it was at Park Lane, you wish it was anywhere else because it was that cold. It looks like we stuck with him, folks, because he's enjoying himself. So, tomorrow night, Team Owens in what's... Should be a good laugh. Should be good fun. We'll enjoy that one. And on Thursday night, the two old guys are coming in again. Chris Bateson and Pat Douglas are coming to talk about their travels around the country. And that was distinctly amusing last time. We enjoyed that. So they're coming back for part two.
Indeed.
Of that one. But we're going to the young talent of Radio Newark next. And that's, of course, Mr. Stuart Preston with his own unique show. And that's the blues music. So me and him's going home for a rest. It's now over to Stuart.
Radio Newark Sport. Brought to you with Smith's Timber Merchants. For all your fencing, decking and DIY needs on Appleton Gate, Newark. Visit smithstimber.co.uk.